the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, a number of times in recent weeks, we've discussed in this programme one of the great infrastructure failures of this country, the inability to build the Metrolink train system for Dublin, something that has been discussed and debated over a quarter of a century at this stage, but still is at the planning stage. Now, the man who has been given the task of overseeing the start of the construction of the Metrolink is from New Zealand, but he moved over here 8 months ago to take control of the programme. Programme Director of Metrolink, Sean Sweeney, thank you very much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Just tell us a little bit first, before we talk about the Dublin project, about what have you built before and how does it compare to what you're expected to build here in Dublin?
My background is large, what are called horizontal infrastructure. So I built stadiums, museums, convention centres, large prison programs, hospitals, things like that. I hadn't been involved in transport till I went back to New Zealand to head up the construction of New Zealand's first metro. So I moved back there in 2018, and that's essentially complete. It's just in testing and commissioning now. And then I got asked to come over here.
Okay, so the one that you've done, in which city in New Zealand? In Auckland, okay. And how big is that compared to what is planned for Dublin?
It's roughly a quarter the size, but many of the issues are the same. You've got a country of 5 million people, you've got a very large capital, it's got no history of metros, it's got a car culture, you've got a workforce that hasn't had a large infrastructure capability, because it's sort of been run down. New Zealand took a holiday from delivering large projects for about 20 years. So sort of having to start up a workforce from scratch and building through the CBD. So
what's the CBD?
Central Business District. So a lot of issues are similar. They're probably just bigger here.
Here in Ireland, yep. Okay. But when a decision, how long did it take to make a decision to have a metro in Auckland? And once the decision was made, how long before the building actually started? And then how long before you got it finished?
That's a good question. Auckland had been talking about a metro since 1965 and kept growing, much like Dublin. And the government of the day wasn't very enthusiastic about it, but the Auckland Council, which is a bit different to Dublin Council, it's an independent body responsible for a wide range of things, including transport in Auckland, they made a decision to start the project without any government funding, which was very brave. And they got going, and then I think they basically emotionally blackmailed the government into joining them. So that took a huge effort and a mayor to basically commit to a project that he didn't have funding to complete. So that required, I'd say, a lot of political courage. But they got going, then the government came on board, and then it got fully funded.
At what cost?
It was originally costing, it depends where you start measuring it, because these projects have a life of their own, and their estimates have a life of their own. And one thing I'd say, Matt, is they're all, until we have a building contractor signed up with a date and a dollar, we're just making estimates. It's only once you've signed up your builder do you have some real clarity about what it's going to look like.
That hasn't been our experience here in Ireland with things like the National Children's Hospital, which you've probably heard about.
I'm still saying you can go beyond that, but that's the first time you've got some, you could say, some clarity about what it should cost. But originally, I think, was schemed at $2.5 billion, then it went to $3.5 billion. When I turned up, I said I didn't actually think the numbers were right. And so we did another review of them. It went to about $4.5 billion. And those numbers were pretty solid. Then we had COVID. And that we had a full lockdown. We had restricted imports, restricted labour. And so we had a massive reset due to COVID, and that added about another billion to the job.
And added a couple of years as well, did it?
A year.
Okay, but it's nearly done now at this stage.
It's at the testing, they're running test trains now.
Okay, And from that, how much have you learned that you would be able to apply to doing a metro system from Dublin?
So my background is running programs of large projects for governments. My expertise is that. I've done pretty well every form of building. The issues I have to manage are not so much the technical ones. There's a huge technical team beneath me who design the railway and look after that. Mine are more about managing a large project within a government and within a country, and trying to keep the people who are funding it clearly informed, and trying to keep the people who are paying for it, the citizens, supportive of the project. I spent a lot of time doing that in New Zealand.
What persuaded you to take the job here in Ireland?
My career is doing large projects. This is a very large one. The project I left was New Zealand's largest ever project. This is, if you take Arden and Crusher out of the way, and I don't know how much that cost because it was how it was costed, but this is certainly the largest project in recent memory in Ireland. I have a connection to Ireland, and my project was running down. And so I was looking for my next big project, and I got a call to talk to people about this job.
Since you arrived here, have you found what's expected of you and what's going on to be different as to what you were told when the job has been sold to you?
No, not really. It's essentially what I thought I would encounter. But every area has its own, you know, unique aspects. It's not the same as Auckland. It's not the same as Melbourne. I worked in America for a while. That was same but different. In my world, the problems are usually the same, and this is going to sound a bit trite, but they end up being people. It's not technical issues.
It's not tunnelling underground through rock.
No, tunnelling is a mature technology, and you can have problems, but it is a very mature technology now. And we've got good people who've had a lot of experience doing this around the world. That's not worries me. That's not what worries me the most.
What does?
At the moment, it's getting international constructor interest in the project. It's been cancelled once. Ireland is on the edge of the market. It's not in the middle of Europe. And people don't realise that the international metro construction market is very busy at the moment. I've just been to Seville to a Spanish rail conference this week, talked to a lot of builders and suppliers. They're all busy, and they're looking around at the projects that they think will make the most sense for them, and we're just one of them. It's an enormous project for Ireland, but it's not for the market. So getting their attention, getting them to bid on this project, given that it has been cancelled once, the market has concerns about are we serious? So we're embarking on a process of updating them and telling them that we're going ahead and looking to generate market interest.
Because are the skills available here in Ireland and the scale of...
No, they're not.
It has to be brought in from externally.
Same as in New Zealand.
Okay. And how much is it going to cost? This is what a lot of people are trying to work out, the cost-benefit analysis of this. I mean, suggestions, it could be anywhere between 11 billion and 21 billion euro.
So the last, I think, serious pricing that was done on the project was 2021, the preliminary business case. They gave bookends of between 7 and 12-ish. And then they're asked to give a P95, which is the outer limit, a number that's 95% likely to not exceed, and that's where the 23 billion came from.
That's the worst case scenario.
Essentially the worst case scenario. Now, they're all 2021 numbers.
So could have expanded from there, given the inflation that has taken hold of construction since.
Up to the end of 24, we've had more than 20% construction inflation to the end of 24. We're now into the middle of 25.
A lot of people want to know, is it going to be worth it? Is it part of your job to turn around if need be and recommend and say, you know what, this might actually be too expensive to do?
No, it's not really part. My job is to build it. But I would say, having looked at the benefits this is going to deliver to Dublin, I haven't seen a project that has as strong set of benefits as this in my career. I think it is just resoundingly positive for Dublin to do this on multiple phases in terms of congestion, carbon, the impact on the airport, increasing capacity there, housing. It's going to open up large areas of housing that will be within a 25-minute commute to town. So I think it's a really positive project for Dublin and the country.
Do you sense the political will to push it through?
I do. It's a big project, though, and they have to get it lined up with everything else they're trying to build, and they're going through that process now.
And what about our planning processes? Because an awful lot of people building other things complain about delays because of the planning application system. What's your experience of that?
Well, it's hard. It takes longer than you think.
Have you found out why it does?
It's the same in New Zealand. My observation, certainly in New Zealand, is there's a planning industry that's been created, and the reports get asked for a bigger, and the engineering studies get longer, and everything gets bigger, and you just end up having to do a huge amount of work. And I've said actually in interviews here that there's a hydroelectric scheme in New Zealand, all the way through New Zealand, 10 hydroelectric dams, and I speculated before I left New Zealand that we couldn't build those dams now because our planning processes in New Zealand are so onerous. And then there becomes the issue of what you call greater good. A project like Metrolink has a resounding greater good for Dublin. Now, it is going to cause disruption, but it's going to make Dublin a much better city.
And just one final thing, are you committed to the route that has been chosen? Because there are people saying, why doesn't it connect Connolly or Houston rail stations, for example? Will it go to the airport?
It will go to the airport.
Okay, but why not Connolly and Houston connect to those?
People before me did an analysis and came up with a route, and it's not really my job to question it. My job is to build it. But I have every confidence that they made a very considered decision, given that the railway can't go everywhere.
Thank you very much, Sean Sweeney, Programme Director of Metrolink, for coming in to join us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.